Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 12 through 18. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instructions, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
In all the history of the world, one of the most powerful statements ever given is by Christ. Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That statement gives us a picture of the kingdom that Jesus Christ himself established. That kingdom included the church, and no one was going to be a part of that kingdom without also being a part of the church that Jesus established. You can look high and low. You can look throughout every nation in the world, and you will not find a solo Christian. It defies everything that Jesus brought forth, that when we detach ourselves from the body, the church, the body of Christ. Listen to the description that Peter gave us in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 4 and 5. That Peter writes here, "For as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are a living house. We are a living body. We are a living church. And every single one of us is important to the church family. When Paul is teaching about the church and how we need to do our part to edify the church, he's not talking about a building. Our text is about practical Christianity. That doesn't mean that everyone has the same function. It doesn't mean that we have the same status of leadership. But it does mean that each of us has a role to play in the betterment of this church, and that it needs to be taken seriously. What are some of the practical how-tos and the aspect of Christianity? For one, it starts with good leadership and good ministry and a strong devotion. Look again at verses 12 and 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul says here, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. You know, many of us over the years have been taught how to get understanding from Bible scriptures, and one of those things is we need to know to whom they are talking to. And Paul is not addressing here the leadership directly, but he is directing his words towards the congregation there in Thessalonica. And the thing that Paul is teaching about to the church family is to show respect. The word translated respect indicates to recognize them for what they are, not who they are, but what they are. I may not like a person who may be serving as president of the United States, but I respect what they are, the president of the United States. And over the years, I've had presidents whom I've respected the office, but not necessarily so much the men. And Paul is talking about respecting an office. And I understand that the congregation here at Malden, we do not have elders and deacons. But leadership is more than just a title. We have men who come together to plan and to guide this congregation. My role in this congregation contains leadership as part of its function. And Paul says here that the church needs to see these men for what they are. And in doing so, we respect them. We lift them up that serve as helping the church. I am extremely thankful for those men. They take time out of their day to serve. A lot of the things they do, we don't see. We don't see the work that's involved in gathering our songs, installing our sound system, maintaining the grounds. We don't see the behind-the-scenes things and where our bills get paid on time. I have yet to see a congregation who provides everyone within the congregation a detailed financial report. That speaks a lot for the men who serve you in this congregation. Everything is out in the open. I may not always agree with them all the time, but I respect them so much because they love this church, and their desire is what's best for us as a body. But they also exhibit a wisdom, both spiritual and practical, that would probably astound you. Over the years, they have earned my respect deeply. They also should respect you, have your respect also. And we owe them that as a congregation. These people are defined by Paul as those who work hard among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. This idea of being over literally is one who stands before you, not hanging over you, not part of a kingship, but ones that stand before you. and it carries with it the responsibility to admonish us within the local family. Part of my responsibility as preacher is to admonish, which means to put in mind. That's what admonish means, to put in mind the right and the wrong way to live. It's about leaders who warn with gentleness a fellow Christian whose life is leading them away from God instead of deeper in God. The peace in the body starts with each of us. We can learn to set aside gossip and desire to hear what has been witnessed by several. We can learn to keep our mouths shut when we are upset or hurt until we can, in spiritual wisdom, deal with the situation and move beyond our emotional response. We can learn to live with it when it is not sin. So Paul tells us that we need to be at peace among ourselves. And good leaders are good peacemakers. In verses 14 and 15 of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the weak, and be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and everyone." Rather, not only does the leadership need to be spiritual and working hard, but so does every single member of the body. It is not about the 80-20 rule that talks about 80% of the work being done by 20% of the people. That's that in the church. In the church, 100% of the work is done by 100% of the people. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that might mean that we need to change our viewpoint about the church. It is not a place to come and get our needs met. It is a place about being a family where everyone meets the needs of one another continually. When the church began in Acts chapter 2, when you go down to the end of that chapter and you look at what the new disciples were doing, it says that they gave themselves over to four things: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And those four aspects of the church are just as important today as they were on that day of Pentecost. What did it do for them? They got to know one another. And they made that their desire. As Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he tells them that part of their ministry is learning to deal with one another. Sometimes we need to warn our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we need to encourage them to do what is right, especially when they want to respond in a way that is evil. We need to understand that the word "you" in verse 14 is not talking about leadership alone. It's talking about each of us and the role that we play within the local body. How does that happen? It happens when we make the decision to get involved instead of just sitting in a pew. It happens when we desire to grow personally, that we are now challenging are being challenged by God's work and we're taking up the challenge. It also means that we need to repent when we fail. It happens when we learn to be patient with everyone, not just those that we like best. If we are the same person we are when we were baptized, we really need to take a hard look at ourselves. Because that shouldn't be the case. We should be very different where we were. Very different. Let's close with verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Can you think of a more practical way to live your life? Happiness is more than a feeling. It is a way of life. It is a decision that is based upon knowing that we are loved by God, that He forgives our sins, and that we're heading toward heaven. I think as a church family, we're the happiest when there is peace reigning within the church. We're never going to have peace in the world. That will never happen because man is too much interested in himself. But we should be able to be at peace right here with one another all the time. We are joyous when our personal life is right with God. And we are joyous when we are with the church. Prayer is the center point of a Christian in a church that is striving for unity and spiritual growth. Praise. Everything is tempered with prayer. Prayer becomes the first option done, not the last option discussed. Prayer becomes the strength within our lives because it connects us to God in a powerful way, but it also helps us to connect with one another. And like joy, thanksgiving is a chosen attitude. When Paul writes to be thankful in all circumstances, he is making a statement about the Christian mindset and life. You who live in Malden cannot control what happens in Malden. We cannot control what happens in our nation or in this world. We cannot stop somebody from gossiping about us. We're not that powerful. But you know where you are powerful at? You are powerful enough that no matter what the circumstance, you can thank God for giving us the strength to bear it and provide us a way out of it. That's what power we have. God doesn't leave us helpless, but He does give us His Spirit. This is about church. It's not about salvation. So today I want to close out by reaching to this wonderful congregation. This is how we live practically. Short, pithy statements, if you will, that are meant to be guideposts along this journey of our lives. Look at those who lead. And if they have earned respect, show it. I believe the men that serve this congregation have earned that respect. Look at your life. See if you are living God's will. And when you fail, repent. When you are challenged, think about it. See if there is truth in it. Learn to rejoice. Be constant in prayer. And live a life of thanksgiving. And the reason why we should do all these things is that we are homeward bound. We are a family who walks together. Whether that walk is happy or sad, we are still walking together. We differ in many ways, but we know what it means to live in peace. If today was the day that you meet the Lord coming out of the air, will you be happy or afraid? Think about that. Will you be happy or afraid? Because you know what that means? Time's up. Time's up. And if you had not obeyed the gospel, guess what? Time's up. There will be nothing past that that will allow you to obtain eternity. Nothing. Only today can you make that happen. If you are not a child of God, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you haven't repented and confessed, if you haven't done these things, and the Lord comes today, you're going to be left out. Don't let that happen. Because God gives us 60, 10, 80 if by health, time to make it happen. But when that time is gone, it's too late. And no one can do it for you. You can do the best good deeds in the world, but without those things, you're lost. And if you are a child of God, if you're not living His commandments, if you're not doing the things you should be doing, if you have sin that you have not repented of, guess what? You could be left out in the cold too. You can be. But God provides us a way back, always. And as God forgets a repentant sin, we also need to forgive and forget ourselves and not continue to allow those past sins to drag us down. Put them away. Don't look back. If there's anyone that has a need this morning to answer the invitation, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.